Hallelujah. I think before going to someone, the first thing I want you to know this morning is that I love you. Amen. I love you. And when I tell you I love you, I'm just being like my Father God. Amen. I love you. Hallelujah. That's why I'm a pastor. I love you. Otherwise, I don't have any business being a pastor. I keep saying, I said, the person that has your permanent best interest at heart, there's only one person. And that's not even me. It's God. He made you. And is permanently seeking your best interest. Amen. And even when you're in trouble, you know what the Bible says? Even when you're in trouble. You know, even when you're in trouble. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble. That means you're already in trouble. Yeah, isn't it? He said, call upon me. Let's look at it. That's not in my sermon. But the Holy Spirit has brought it up. So let's look at it. Call upon me in the day of trouble. But Toby, where is that? Hallelujah. Call upon me in the time of trouble. And what will I do? Amen. Let's open it. It's important to open. Call. It's in Psalms, I believe. Amen. Psalm 50, verse 15. Please open there. That's just a preamble. We've not gotten into the sermon at all. Psalm 50, verse 15. That's the word is for somebody. Like I said, it's not even part of what I've prepared for today's sermon. But it's for somebody. Somebody. A specific person. God is saying to you now. It says Psalm 50, verse 15. It says, let's read from verse 14. He said, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Verse 15, let's read together. Then call on me when you are in trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. What is the reason that God rescues us from trouble? Yes. Yes. All those are true. Look at verse 15 again. Verse 15, let's read again. And then let me ask that question again. Sorry, I preach and teach. So sometimes I keep switching between preaching and teaching. Psalm 50, verse 15, look at it again. Let's read together. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. What is the reason why God rescues you from trouble? So that you can give him glory. You see, the greatest goal of all existence is the glory of God. And he said, that's why he said, I'm the Lord. My glory I will share with no man. And the reason why Satan fell, because Satan was not made as Satan. He was made as Lucifer. He was an angel of God. He was actually not an angel. He was an archangel. In fact, he wasn't just an archangel. He was an anointed cherub. Yeah, he was an anointed cherubim. That's the highest hierarchy of angels. The reason why he fell, because he wanted to share God's glory with him. I keep telling you, Satan never tried to be God, because he knew he couldn't be God. He knew he was created. But his goal was to be like God. Get it? Satan never wanted to be God, because he knew he couldn't be God. What he wanted to do was to have a parallel government. Are you listening? He said, I will ascend upon the youth and I will be like the Most High. He tried to share the glory of the Most High. And that's why the Bible said God cast him down. And I keep telling you, I said, Satan is not the enemy of God, because he is no match for God. So let me change the word. When I say enemy, I mean adversary. So adversary means someone who can fight you. Do you understand? Satan is not an adversary of God, because he can't match God. When he tried to share God's glory, just one flick and he was cast down. But Satan is the adversary of man. Amen. Satan what? Is the adversary of man. 1 Peter 5 says, he said, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is going around seeking whom to devour. Now anything that occurs in your life that want to devour your destiny is from the devil. Hallelujah. And any time the devil is succeeding in devouring your destiny, yeah, he is taking the glory of God from your life. See that? Any time, any part of your life that the devil is reigning, he is sharing God's glory. Hallelujah. Darkness cannot glorify God. The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So anytime the darkness is about to consume you, it's not God that wants to be glorified if darkness consumes you. It's Satan. Hallelujah. That is why he promised that he will deliver you and he will rescue you so that you can give him what? Glory. Hallelujah. He's not delivering you for your own purpose. He's delivering you for his own glory. Amen. You know, the reason why some people don't experience deliverance is that after their deliverance, they will go back to their own purposes and forget God. You understand? So again, God is not glorified. Are you with me? God wants to bless you so that he will be glorified in your life. You know why he said? That's why he said, I shall not die, but I shall live. Not just for the sake of living. Not just to ride a Lamborghini and a Ferrari. I never read in them. That doesn't mean I won't. And I don't have to even own them to ride them. Yeah? If my brother Gigi buys a Lamborghini tomorrow and he's taking me out, I will ride the Lamborghini. Hallelujah! Glory to God! You see, when God blesses you, he's blessing me. Are you with me? I said, when God blesses you, he's blessing. There are some connections you have in your life that I don't have. But once I'm connected to you, I'm connected. Hallelujah! God wants to be glorified in your life. Say to yourself, say, God wants to be glorified in my life. That is why he will deliver me and rescue me so that I can give him glory. Hallelujah. The title of today's sermon is what? All things are possible. Let's start from Mark 10. Today I'm just going to take you on a journey through Mark. Only Mark. If I try to go out of Mark, remind me that I must remain in where? Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. If you will read for me from verse 25 to verse 27. Mark 10, verse 25 to 27. So I will go around. I will allow different people to read as I usually do. So if you would like to read, just let me know and I will give you the mic. Mark 10, from verse 25 to verse 27. All things are possible.
Mark 10, verses 25 to 27. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The way I was really going to, I just wanted to set the context. You see, there are situations in your life. Even myself, the pastor, I've seen some situations whereby I say, Amen. The contrast he was drawing there is that, you know, as a rich person, yeah, you have power. Your richness gives you power to obtain whatever you like. But when it comes to eternal life, yeah, your richness cannot buy eternal life. He says it's easier for a camel to go to the eye of a needle. Now, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The reason why disciples were amazed or astounded is that, you know, they thought that if a rich man cannot enter, what of us poor people? Yeah? By the way, being rich does not mean you cannot enter. It's about the attitude. The problem with the rich not entering is that they get carried away in the deceitfulness of riches. Amen. That's why I keep telling you, I said, your money is not yours. Amen. The moment you think your money is yours, you're already on that pathway of the rich man who will find it difficult to enter. But once you understand that your money belongs to the Lord, and you make a decision to always honor God with your money, yeah, you will even increase in riches, because your Abraham was a rich man. Did you know that? He was the richest man in the East. He was so rich, he had a army, a homegrown army. The slaves that were born in his house was an army. That's how rich Abraham was. Yeah? But his riches was used to glorify God. Amen. So he said, look, with men, it may be impossible. That's one thing that God has shown me, that when situations come your way, as a pastor, don't look at the impossibility of the situation. Look at God. Hallelujah. I said what? Look at God. Amen. Yesterday, I have a policy of zero tolerance for insects within my home. That's my policy. Insects can play outside wherever they want to play, but within my house, I don't want any insect. Okay? I don't want to find an insect under my duvet. Do you understand? But so I try to eliminate them. Forgive me if you are, you know, very sensitive. But you know, yesterday I saw a very tiny insect. It could not even, you can't measure it, you know. And with just one move of the hand, it was gone. But I'm thinking to myself, yet in that tiny state, it has life. You know, the awesomeness of creation is not just about the big things. The dinosaurs of this world, the elephants of this world, the big whales and the big sharks. I'm talking of a tiny thing that just a little mistake of your finger can kill. Yet it has life. Yet it reproduces. Yet it moves about. Hallelujah. In fact, if that little insect is like a spider, yet it spins webs. Is God not great? So with man, it may be impossible, but not with God. Because with God, all things are possible. Because you need to understand, first of all, foremost, for you to understand that with all things are possible, you need to understand that your life is a miracle. The fact that you wake up, you sleep, you eat food, you process it, you get energy, it's all what? A miracle. Without the life in you, you are just like another piece of stone and flesh. In fact, without the life in you, the flesh will rot in days. It's the miracle, your life. The fact that you can breathe and move is God's miracle in you. And if that miracle could have happened, any other miracle in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, in your situation, in your circumstances can happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is the unchanging changer. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell them. Say God. No. Just in case. Because there are many gods. So turn to that. Say, my God. The Most High is the unchanging changer. Hallelujah. That's why the psalmist says, I shall not die. I'm not going down. I'm going up. I said, I'm not going down. What about you? Say to yourself, say, I'm not going down. I say, it doesn't matter what the situation is. I'm not going down. Because with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it may be impossible, but not with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is a living God. Hallelujah. We're not just doing religion. We are fellowshipping with the Most High. Let me just share something to you. You see, when you open your Bible from Genesis 1, and then you read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without. Let's go to Genesis 1. Yes, you stay in Mark, isn't it? Okay, I'm not thinking Genesis 1. Thank you. You're a good church. Hallelujah. But I will quote it. Amen. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then immediately, trouble. So when you see trouble, It was like that in the beginning. The trouble predates you. Amen. So don't worry about the trouble. Think about God. Amen. He said the heart was without form and voice. It was chaos. Yeah? Darkness came. And it was over the deep. But what happened? But the Spirit of the Lord was present. Even in the midst of the darkness. Amen. Then God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. What I was going to tell you is that God did not create that light. God created the sun and the moon and the stars. But God did not create light. He only commanded light to shine out of the darkness. You know why God cannot create light? Yeah? Because God is light. He only said, let there be. Let it comfort. Yeah? He was not making something new. He was releasing his light into the darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, even when the darkness was over the void, the Spirit of the Lord was moving over the face of the deep. What I'm trying to tell you is that the fact that there is darkness around you, the fact that there is trouble around you, the fact that there is sickness and disease around you, does not mean that God has left you. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord was moving over the face of the deep. But for that miracle to come forth, there needed to be the release of a word. Hallelujah. That's why when you read John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. By Him all things were created. The Spirit of the Lord was there, even in the midst of the darkness. But when the Word came forth, miracles began to happen. I say, tell your neighbor, say, your miracle is happening. You know, I wanted to say on the way, but it's not on the way. It's happening already. Say that again. Say, your miracle is in progress. But there's one problem. I'll show you the problem. Go to Mark. Yeah, am I still keeping to Mark? You know, you can't tie me down. Well, I will try my best. Mark chapter 9. I said there's a problem. Although your miracle is on the way, although your miracle is already in progress, there is what? One little problem. Mark chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. Yes, I'd like another reader. Mark chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. Let's have another reader now.
And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straight. Amen.
22 to 20. What did you read? 22 to 24. Let's talk about 24. Because 24 is the peak of what I'm trying to drive home. Now, let's have that. Thank you so much, Mr. PJ. Let's have that verse, that reading. Mark 9, 22 to 23. Sorry. From New Living Translation. Brother DJ.
Mark 9, 22 to 23. From New Living Translation. There's a message that made clearer there, which I need to pass
at the beginning. The Spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can, Jesus?
What do you mean, if I can? How many times have you said to yourself, with all of the joy? With all of the what? Then what do you mean, if I can?
Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes.
You need to understand this. With God, all things are possible. Yeah? is the first foundation of your faith. Amen. I was having a fellowship. Fellowship is important. Don't stay out of fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Now, life is busy. Your work is busy. If you may be as busy as Brother Tim. But every opportunity you have, yeah? Every. Make use of it to stay in fellowship. Yeah? That's where this Satan will find it very difficult to get you. If you like, pray and fast 3 days a week. If you're out of fellowship, you're a weak believer. I'm telling you the whole truth. Amen. You know what I told you? I said, you know when Jesus was leaving the world, do you know the gift he gave to the world? Let's go to that again. When Jesus was leaving the world, what gift did Jesus give to the world? Let's have some answers. Jesus was leaving the world, but he thought that, oh, I better leave something as a gift for the world. What gift did Jesus give the world when Jesus was leaving?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, I need other answers. Any 3 answers? Holy Spirit, yes. Any other answer? Any different answer?
Eternal life.
Eternal life, yes, that's true. Holy Spirit is true. Eternal life is true. Obviously, that's not my perfect answer. So I'm still looking for the perfect answer.
Forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins, yes. Now you're drifting. He gave a gift, a tangible gift to the church. Tangible. Holy Spirit qualifies, by the way. Eternal life qualifies, by the way.
Speaking in tongues,
that's the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Listen to the question. I'm not asking you what gift Jesus gave to his disciples. I'm asking you what gift Jesus gave to the world. When he was living, so he couldn't have been himself, but he could be himself. I'm speaking in parables. Yes, you can try.
The word of God.
The word of God, yes, but you know, this gift is in the scripture. I can quote it for you. But
healing,
that's true. But it's a gift he gave to the world when he was living.
The peace,
yeah, that's true. But that's not the perfect answer. You mean nobody? Can I start putting £5 on that and see if maybe you try better? Hallelujah. Jesus said something. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gift that Jesus gave to the world when he was living was what? The church. And the church is the body of Christ. So that's how Jesus maintains himself. So Jesus, the head has gone, but he's still here because his body is here. And that body is what? The church. The world is hopeless without the church. The state of the world reflects the state of the church. And when the church is finally removed from this world, the world will be in total chaos. Hallelujah. Why did I go there? Just to remind you that the church is the greatest gift that Jesus gave to the world. Don't stay away from church. Stay in church. That's where your blessing is. That's where it becomes difficult for Satan to poke you on the nose. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I was fellowshipping with my brother, as I was saying. And we're talking about the levels of faith. He was sharing with me. And we said the first level of faith, the minimum, lowest level of faith is God can. Can you talk to your neighbor and tell them, say, God can. No, actually, let's do it better. He said the first lowest level of faith is God can do it. So talk to your neighbor, tell them, God can do it. Please, look them in the eye. Some people are not. Let me tell you something. There's one secret. Anybody who cannot look you in the eye has a problem with you. You need to pray for them. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, look at them in the eye, smile. We're in church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And tell them, say, God can do it. How do we know that? Mark 10:27 says, with man, it may be impossible, but not with God. Because with God, all things are possible. So God can do it. Amen. But you see, many Christians, when I say many, I mean the majority of Christians, that's all they ever lived. They built their house on that level. God can do it. They live there for all their lives. And they fall short of everything God has promised them because all they are living on is what? God can do it. God can do it is not enough for you. God can do it is not what will release your miracle. Hello, are you listening to me? I said God can do it is not what will release your miracle. Amen. Some you may be wondering what's pastor teaching today. Hallelujah. The higher level is Mark 9:23. In 22, the man said, if you can, he said, have mercy on us and help us if you can. So he wasn't even at the first level of faith. Are you with me? That was how bad he said. He wasn't at the first level of faith. So Jesus had to first of all help him and say, what do you mean if I can? Then when it's a settled issue, if you believe in God, then you should be able to at least be on that level of God can. Otherwise, which type of God are you serving? Talk to your neighbor, tell them, say, which type of God are you serving? Hallelujah. If God be God, he can. Let's say that again. If God be God, he can. If you are still doubting that, then you are not in faith at all. Amen. Are you with me? God can. Think of the most hopeless situation that ever happened in the whole world. God can. Okay? There was a situation whereby, you know, a pastor was driving. I don't know what happened. You know, maybe he was tired. He had gone for a conference. The true story is in America. So he was driving, and I think it was at night. He was not seeing clearly. Maybe he was tired, okay? And then a young man ran across the road, and the car rammed that man. And, you know, they stopped. They came out. From what they could see, even the internal organs were ready. Some of them had already come out. Yeah? Pastor was not alone. He was with someone in the car. But he didn't just start seeing and start wailing that, oh, no, this is over. He just came and laid down to the man and said, in the name of Jesus, we command you not to die. That was the command. You will not die. You will live. The evidence is hopeless, but that's not your business. I said, the hopeless evidence is not what? Your business. Don't concentrate on what is hopeless. Concentrate on what is hopeful. Hallelujah. Concentrate on what is possible. Don't concentrate on what is what? Impossible. Amen. They just come. I say it's not their business. It's not your power that will make somebody live. It's not your power that will make somebody well. It's not your power that will make your miracle to happen. It's not your power that will deliver you. It's God's power. Your own part is to believe. The commander said, "Do not. You will not die. You must not die." That was the command. You must not die. You must live. And they prayed in tongues over the man. The man was carried into a hospital. Hopeless situation. Amen. He recovered. I mean, they did surgery, but he recovered. Hallelujah. Only God could have done it. That's why he is what? He's God. We're not doing religion. Let's clap. You know, we're not trying to teach people to be nice. Are you listening to me? We're not trying to teach people to be nice. Because you may be nice, I have no life in you. You know what the Bible says? That he that has the Son of God, Jesus, as life. There's no other life. Because Jesus is the life. Amen? Nobody ever came down from heaven and went back like Jesus. Only one, Jesus. He came. He's the bridge between heaven and earth. You know why he's the life? Because Jesus is God himself. Hallelujah. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, he that has the Son as life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Finish. There's no middle way. Your niceness cannot take you to heaven. In church here, we're not teaching people tonight. We're teaching them to know God. To walk with God. And to enjoy God. Do you know enjoying God is worship? How good have you felt when your children, if you have children yet, and if not, you will have. I said, if you don't have children, you will have in the name of Jesus. He said, how do you feel when you have blessed your child your child came to you and said, I need this. And it pleased you to give it. And then you sat back and watched the child enjoy the gift. Hallelujah. Enjoying God is part of worship. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. Hello? I said, God delights in your prosperity. And when I say prosperity, it's not just money. It's that your prosperity is your total well-being. Spirit, soul, and body. My brother Toby said last week, said, Steve Jobs, he founded a big company called Apple. Apple is doing well. They made millions and billions of dollars. But his money could not save his liver. Are you with me? That organ is just a tiny piece of thing. Even the size of his money is bigger than the size of his liver. But when the time came, his money could not save his what? His liver. Your prosperity is not just about the money, but the money is part of it. Hello? I said the money is what? Part of it. You know why it's part of it? That's why you wake up every day and you work. I can't wake my wife up too early, but she will wake up early for work. Do you understand? Yeah? I don't need to motivate her for that. But it's okay, I'll do me tomorrow, 5 a.m. If you can wake up, I'm going out early. Just fry me some eggs at 5 a.m. She will just smile like that and laugh. You already know that nothing is going to happen. Even if I fast and pray, it's not going to happen. Amen. Your prosperity is your total well-being. That you have peace. That you have joy. That you have a living. That you have a future. That you have a hope is your prosperity. Amen. You know, that the desires of your heart that are in line with what God has provided for are met is your prosperity. And God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Let's make it higher. Say, God delights in the prosperity of his children. Let's make it higher. Say, God delights in my prosperity. Therefore, I'm not going down. Hello? I said, I'm not going down. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever situation, circumstances around my life trying to pull me down, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Make way. Say, lift up your heads. Oh, you guys. Every gate, every door that has been closed against you, I speak the word of prophecy. Could be the word of, it could be the door of healing, could be the door of, you know, anything it is. I speak in the name of Jesus. Lift up your head, all you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Yeshua. He is the King of Glory. You know why he's the King of Glory? Yeah? Because he will not share his glory with any man. God desires, desperately desires, to be glorified in your life. Hallelujah. How do you release that glory? Mark 9:23. He says, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked, anything. What? Anything is what? Possible. If a person believes. That means that the next level of faith is not just God can do it, but God will do it. Say to anybody, say, God. Hallelujah. Touch them, touch them. They may be dozing off. Say, I love you. Say, God, we do it. That's the second level of faith. Amen. When you apply your faith and join it with the capability of God, anything becomes possible. Amen. Don't leave at God can do it. Move up to the level of what? God will do it. Amen. He said anything is possible if a person believes. What is the complication? Believe. 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 Amen. Let me take it. There's one higher level. You can move up to that level, then you know that your miracle is a done deal. Hallelujah. Shall I tell you that higher level? Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Rakusendre ganakasia. Prekundre kisia nakuri in the head. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the Lord. Who is strong and mighty in the midst of my people. I am the Lord who is strong and mighty in the midst of my people. Amen. God is in the midst of his people. He has not left you. I said God has not left you. I said God has not left you. I said God has not left you. Amen. Do you know that God has a job? Hello? You think God is jobless? Yeah? You know, sometimes people wish that, oh, I wish I didn't have to work. It's not in the divine order. The only problem is, you wish you don't have to work a work that you don't like to do. You understand? Yeah? You are made to work. But you want to do the one that you enjoy doing. Amen? I told people, I said, swimming is what? Work. Do you agree? I shouldn't ask you. Do you agree? You've been trying to swim for many years.
Not many years.
A few years. Hallelujah. But for someone else, swimming is pleasure and leisure, isn't it? For someone else, swimming is leisure. God is not telling you not to work. The problem is that the work we do involves hard labor, and we're not enjoying it as much. When you enjoy your work, God has a job. Let me tell you the job of God. The job of God is to make your miracles happen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, can I prove to you that God has a job? The Bible says, he that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. What is he doing? If there's nothing to do, what will you do? Sleep. Why does he not sleep or slumber? Because he's in control. He's permanently committed to releasing your miracle. Let me tell you something. When God releases a miracle, it doesn't reduce in size. It's still God. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, like if you gave me some money, 100 pounds, and you had 1,000 pounds, the money has reduced to 900. Not like God. When God releases something, because God himself, the side of God is infinity. Infinity minus 1 is what? Infinity. Infinity minus 1,000 is what? Infinity. That's mathematics. Pure mathematics. I'm telling you, further mathematics. Infinity. So it's an 8 on the side. If you subtract anything from infinity, it still remains what? Infinity. If you add anything to infinity, it still remains what? Infinity. So it doesn't cost God anything to release your miracle. Amen. So the problem is not on God's side. You have to use your faith. Hallelujah. You have what? To use your faith. Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's reverse it. It means every time you use your faith in God, you are declaring that you trust him. You are declaring that, my God is a living God. My God is a living God. But that's not all you're saying. You're also saying that my God cares about me. Hello? He cares. He's not just willing. He cares. Because he may be able, but if he doesn't care, then he will not be willing. God is not just able. He is willing. That person came to Jesus and says, teacher, you know, if you will, you can make me whole. He said, I will. I what? I will. Let's not doubt it. He is willing. Hallelujah. So let's finally, let's begin. Let me show you the third level of faith. First level is that with God, all things are possible. Second level is that anything is possible if a person believes. So you see now it's conditional on you believing. Let me just mention this. Your believing is not just a one-time thing. It is a present continuous. Please talk to your neighbor. Say, believing is present continuous. That means you believe and you keep believing. Now let me tell you, why do you need to keep believing? Because obviously you begin to see some, it's not compulsible. You may along your journey see any contrary evidence. But don't worry about the evidence. Continue to what? To believe. Finally, let's go to Mark 5 and then we'll round up there. For the third level. Hallelujah. For the third level. Mark chapter 5. Is it Mark 5? Yes. Verse 21. No, Mark 5, verse, where are we? Yes. Okay, this is the last piece I'm going to read from the Bible today. Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 36. Mark 5, verse 35 to 36. So we would like to read that. Mark 5, verse 35 to 36. Brother Toby.
While he was still talking, some people came from the leader's house and told him, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Jesus overheard what they were talking about and said to the leader, "Don't listen to them. Just trust me."
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you have that in King James or New King James Version, can you just support that reading? Mark 5, verse 35 to 36.
While he was still speaking, some from the rulers of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid, only believe."
Amen. Very important lesson of faith. Very important lesson of faith. Hallelujah. Very important lesson of faith here. Turn to your neighbor. Say, do not be afraid. No, let's change it. Let's change to old English. Say, be not afraid. Only believe. Amen. God can do it. God will do it. But why do you move to that final level? That peak of the mountain? Yeah? Only believe. Hallelujah. You believe. You are believing. But now, only believe. Be not afraid. When you get to that point where you are no longer afraid, but you know that God has done it, you will have it. Sometimes when you're preaching, it looks like, oh, this preacher knows Bible, that's why. No, I know it and I live it. Hello? I said what? I know the Bible and I live it. And I stake my life on it. As I say, my Bible is what? The written word of God. The word of God is true, is alive, and is powerful. I have lived it. Amen. He said, "Be not afraid. Only believe." When every moment, so when you wake up, imagine you have something you are seeking God for. And you have reached a point that when you wake up, all you can see is that thing happening. I tell you, you have it. Hallelujah. Assume that it's beside that you will die. But you have not reached a level in your belief that all you can see is yourself living. Hallelujah. I like the testimony of my sister. I said, "I will rise up and come." She said, she didn't just say, "I will come and give my testimony." Hallelujah. He said what? "I will rise up." You know the difference between a person who will die and who will live? It depends on their plan. The person who is planning to die will die. I said the person who is making, planning to die. And all they are saying is how they will die. And listen to me, very important. This is a very, don't worry. Let her be a child, okay? The person who goes about confessing that they will not live long. Excuse me. You see, one of the things that can destroy your faith is sarcasm. Everybody say sarcasm. You know what sarcasm is? Sarcasm is when you say something bad about yourself to make yourself or others feel good. So for example, someone says, you know, I'm no good. We're just managing. We're not good. Yeah? And you keep saying that about yourself every single day. That's sarcasm. Sarcasm will stop you from entering the highest level of faith. Amen. I said the person who goes about saying that, oh, you know, I won't live long. They won't live long. In fact, I tell you something. If you're a preacher and all you all say is that, oh, it's not how long you live that matters, it's how well that you can live short. You may live short because you're opening a door to Satan. Anything you don't value and you don't honor in your life will decrease. Hello? That's the law of faith. Law of faith says, if you value something, reach out for it. God will not put the grape inside your mouth. But it will bring it within your reach. That's God's job. Your own job is now reach out for the grape that God has brought within your reach. Hallelujah. Do not entertain sarcasm. I'm no good. I can't make it. I will not live long. If that's your confession, you will have what you say. Amen. But in the midst of your situation, if you cannot see, you can see that future you've already believed for, and you're already living in it, yeah, then you can't miss it. It will happen. Amen. How do you see your life? How do you see your future? What do you see yourself? Do you see yourself dying? Or do you see yourself living? Do you see yourself going down? Or do you see yourself rising up? Do you see yourself childless? Or you see yourself fruitful? What you see is what you say. If you say, oh, my miracle never happened, except so and so happens, that's exactly what you will have. Hello, are you with me? Say, oh, well, unless, you know, I go to Sister Chipo's house, I've not mentioned that, you know, and I eat some nice meal in her house, I will not feel happy. Then you will not feel happy until you do it. Are you with me? You yourself can limit your blessing. You yourself can limit your miracle. You can place a limit on what God can do in your life. And sometimes we do it because of what other people are said or are saying, or we do it to please other people. You understand? I don't want to be in the midst of sympathizers and empathizers. That doesn't mean I don't empathize. I'd rather be in the place of making things happen. I don't want to say, oh, sorry, I know you're going down, but you know, we understand, we stand with you. No! I want to tell you that you're not going down! You're not going down! I know that there may be some history that led to where you are, but still, you are not going down, because anything is possible to him who believes. Hallelujah! If you believe it, and you can see it, please, you have to see it first. Some say, oh, when it happens, I will see it. Then you will not see it. That's what happened to the 10 spies. They did not see the promised land because they could not see it. If you can't see it, you won't see it. If you can see it, you will see it. That's the highest law of faith. When you move to the level of God, we do it to the level of God has done it. I can see it in my spirit. I'm expecting it. Hallelujah. And everything I say goes in that line. I say, I don't know how it will happen, but God has done it. I will not die. I will live. I will not go down. I'm going up. My life is not winding down. My life is just beginning. Say, life begins at 40. Yeah? My life is just beginning. Glory to God. I have to give you one more scripture to fortify this point, because it's the biggest point. Well, you know what? I will still stay in Mark. So finally, open your Bible to Mark 11. And we should round up the sermon within a few minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes. Mark 11. And someone says, this is the greatest teaching of faith. that Jesus revealed. You know, he revealed them a very great depth of faith. Please master this because it's most important. I don't think I could teach you about faith without taking you to Mark chapter 11. Well, I could. But to give you a complete dish with dessert. Is it dessert? Anybody like dessert here? Anybody like dessert? My wife. And who else? Staluki. Sachibo, you don't like dessert? Oh, I'm not coming to your house. Anybody like dessert? Hallelujah. It's the icing on the cake. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24. Yeah? Or probably just read it to 25. There's someone to read who would like to read. That's the final one today. Mark 11, 22 to 25. Yes? Okay. I'll give Brother DJ.
Have you read today? Yes.
Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to the mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen, and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too.
Amen. So, very key point there, I don't want us to miss it, is that unforgiveness can hinder your faith. It's a golden law of faith. Unforgiveness means either you not repenting of something you've done wrong, or not forgiving somebody who has offended you. Yeah? The Lord said, He said, vengeance is mine. That's what God said. I will repay. So he said, but somebody has offended you, forgive them, let them go. He said, even if your enemy is hungry, give him food. Even if he's thirsty, give him drink. You can't do that in your human power, but you can do it in the love of God. Hallelujah. You let it go. Don't hold on to any unforgiveness, and don't hold on to any sin. If you're done wrong or you're doing wrong, ask for forgiveness. Yeah? Then your faith is, you know, purified. Hallelujah. But the golden law of faith is this. He said, I'm telling you the truth. Hello? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the lie. Bible says that God cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie. That's in Numbers. But when God, when Jesus, who is the truth, telling you that I'm telling you the truth, that's a double emphasis. The truth is telling you that he's telling you the truth. Of course, we know that everything Jesus ever said was the truth, but he's still telling you that this one, what, is the truth. And what's the truth? He said there, as I tell you the truth, you can say, somebody say you can say. Who can say? Anybody. Anybody that is a child of God can say. Hallelujah. I was telling my mom, I said, you know, growing up, I had varicose veins in my right leg. They don't disturb me much, yeah? But I looked at it, I said, I don't like it. So I can say. You know why he said? He said, I can say. So I will say. Hello? He said, I can say. So what? I will say.
Varicose veins. Be healed. Smoothing up. I want a nice leg.
I'm not a woman, but I want what? A nice prayer.
It's an open check. I will not limit myself and I will not limit God.
He said, you can say to this mountain. How do you say?
You speak. You wake up and you what? You speak.
This problem, you will not sink me. You will not destroy me. God will make a way. My life is not going down. My life is moving forward. I will not be overtaken and overwhelmed by this. I will not live my life under the shadow of a problem. Hallelujah. Because the Bible is not telling me to live under the shadow of the problem. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You are not supposed to live under the shadow of your problem. Don't let your problem define your life. God is greater and is able to take you out, to bring you in. He took the children of Israel out of Egypt to bring them in.
to Cana. Hallelujah. Don't dwell under the shadow of your problem. Dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. How? By abiding in a secret place. What is a secret place? It's a place of faith and prayer. Hallelujah. He said, if you believe that you have received it, you shall have it. It means that it comes to a point in your faith that there is no going back. If I believe that I had received it, I can begin to live in the reality that is mine. Let me give you an example. Brother Benjamin. Let me just tickle you a little. You know, have you ever ordered a new car from a dealership? Yeah, have you? Ever? You never ordered a new car? Or any car from a dealership? Yes, you did. Don't, it's too modest, too modest. So when you went there and you placed that order and everything was done and you signed the document, how did you feel? What did you go home to tell us, Sister Chibu?
I was a bit of scared that she'd tell me to take it back.
Sister Chibu, please, what did he come home to tell you?
He came and he was trying to sell it to me, like, you know, this car is good for this. You know, the children will enjoy this. It's got a sunroof. It's got this. So,
amen. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. What I'm trying to bring out is that the moment you signed it, you believed it was yours. It doesn't matter that it took some few weeks before the car came in. From the moment it is signed, it is what? Yours. The moment you believe that you have received it and you continue to say it without doubt, it is then yours. There is only a matter of time for it to be delivered, just like your car. Hallelujah. That's the type of faith that moves the hand of God. You may do a prayer meeting and everybody in the world pray about your problem. That doesn't mean there will be a solution. It's not about the numbers of people praying. It's about the faith that is exercised. Hallelujah. You believe that you have received it. You live in that reality. Then all that remains is the actual delivery. And the delivery can be progressive. It can be instant. It can be delayed. But if you don't shake, it is yours. Hallelujah. And this applies to anything. I'll round up on this note. Turn to your neighbor. Then I say, neighbor, I love you with the love of Jesus. Please don't live under the shadow of your problem. Live under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Let us pray.